Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, this is Dirk Nowitzki, and you're listening to the MAPS Step Back podcast.
Let me step back for a minute, tired of the gimmicks. See, we just focused on winning. Ball in the airline center, we about to get litty. Luka carrying a torch, Borden jumped up on the porch. How you reckon with his force? Third season in the game, and he a legend by his fourth. Look, after Dirk, now the king of Dallas. Airline serving as the palace. Young team, and it's full of talent. Want revenge, we accept the challenge. Luka carrying a legacy. What it take to be an MVP? Being great, know it cost a fee. Know it really ain't that hard to see. Hold on, wait, silence the critics, cause they never did it. Pass out Jordan, I ain't woke up the city. Map shooting hot like we straight out the chimney. Go back to Batman, I'm calling them Drizzy. More triple doubles, I'm waiting on 50. Step back smoother, you know it's so filthy. If I get down on my team, gonna lift me. Rep the map, step back, overcame the setbacks. Starting where we left at, know we gotta get back. Know we gotta get back. Rep the map, step back, overcame the setbacks. Starting where we left at, know we gotta get back. Like, know we gotta get back. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Mavs Step Back Live. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. I'm here with my co-host, Matt Glatson. And y'all, the Mavs, they went into L.A. and they stole both games to start this series to go up 2-0. And now they come back to American Airlines Center to play their first home playoff game since 2016 to a near full capacity crowd. I mean, the atmosphere is going to be absolutely insane when they get back for game three on Friday. And I can't wait. But so the final score of game two, it was 127-121. Luka, 39 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, went toe-to-toe with Kawhi Leonard. Tim Hardaway Jr. played like the second star on the team that he has. You know, that's what he's done the majority of the season, more so than KP has. I mean, just I just can't believe it, Matt. I mean, I went into this game with pretty low expectations because, you know, I figured the Clippers would come out and throw the first punch and try to knock the Mavs out early. But, man, this team has really impressed me. Like, I'm super proud of this roster. They've come out and really laid the hammer down. And even KP ended up, you know, after starting off, you know, iffy, he ended up with 20 points on 8 of 12 shooting. So, you know, it could have been worse tonight is what I'm trying to say. I feel like the Clippers would have come out with more fire and, you know, tried to even the series up. But the Mavs just went out there and took it. So it was great. What's your initial thoughts from that amazing Game 2 win?
Well, yeah, and they did it while shooting terribly from the free throw line, which is always good. I mean, that game's not even close if they hit,
oh, man,
you know, 70 to 80% from the line. So great
shout
overall
out
win.
Shout out to Josh Richardson, by the way. You know, as bad as the Mavs shot from the free throw line as a team, Josh Richardson went in there and hit some huge free throws at the end. Really clutch. So that was great to see.
I think that's the first thing that you said good about Josh Richardson in quite some time. So you must be in a good mood. but yeah, I mean, great overall win. Tim was awesome as usual. Luca was just a god. So you can't really say much more than that. I just realized that I made a typo in my game story, so I'm going to go in and fix that real quick. But
hey,
also,
well, that's perfect. That's perfectly fine. That'll give me a little segue to Christian here. Go ahead and fix that, Matt.
I'm on my way already. Don't worry.
Christian, what's up, man? How you feeling?
Oh, my God. I mean, the emotions from that game. It was funny because right when you said that off the top of, you know, the expectations were low going into the game. You know, I told my girlfriend, I was like, I don't think I'm going to be mad today. I'm mentally preparing for, you know, a difficult game. I know Clippers are going to punch back. So, you know, I'm prepared. And then it's halftime, and I'm like, we got to win this game. Like, we have to. And, you know, and to be honest, like, when I'm looking at the game, there's two things. Because I think, you know, each game, you could kind of look at the anomalies in a sense. Like, we were just scorching. At halftime, it was, what, like 67% from the field or something?
Yeah, it was crazy.
and so I was, you know, you look at, when you look ahead, right, it's, well, you know, we in all likelihood won't do that again. But at the same time, the officiating against us, I think, was awful in this game. And when I saw Scott Foster was one of the officials for this game, I kind of knew that going in. So there's that. And the free throws were just how many times did we miss two free throws in a row when it could have really, you know, helped put our foot on them to run away with it? But
Yeah. Look, if the Mavs even have a decent free throw shooting night, other than Josh Richardson, they win comfortably in this one. And it's not, you know, we're not holding our breath in the last couple of minutes.
I mean, even when there was like 9 seconds left, I was like, no, we haven't won. These announcers keep acting like we won. Don't say that. And, you know, I told my girlfriend, I was like, if Josh Richardson makes these free throws, I will forgive any bad thing I've ever said about him. And just realistically, I think he played well on both ends. His defense was rather good. You know, those free throws in that moment were just, you know, so crucial. And I just think as a team, you know, Dorian kind of regressed this game. But, you know, what about Maxi? Man, was he on fire early. That was exciting. And, you know, I just think what an exciting time to be a Mavs and how lucky we are. And it was great having Dirk in the attendance. You know, how lucky we are as a fan base to go from Dirk to Luka. I mean, just.
Yeah, and look, they had Luka had a bunch of Dirk-esque shots tonight too, with him in attendance. So, there's two things: when Dirk is in attendance, and when Tim Hardaway Jr., if like any of his family members are there, one or the other or both, you know, the Mavs seem to bring it a little bit more than, you know, than normal. So, as soon as they announced that Dirk, you know, I wasn't as optimistic as I usually am before the game, but as soon as I saw that they said they expected Dirk to be in attendance, I was like, okay. they might come out with a little more energy than what I thought.
Well, then what's going to happen in the next game when Tim's family and Dirk are both in attendance?
Well, then we might have a
world going to explode.
Yeah, we might have a repeat of that first Mavs Clippers game of the season if that happens. I don't know. Okay, so we're gonna bring on another return guest here, our guy Xavier X. How you doing, man?
Look, I'm doing great. I want to apologize to Josh McSwag in the comments. He's been calling poo-poo. You know what, Josh? You're right. You're absolutely right. I am a gargantuan asshole, and for that, I apologize for ever having doubted this team, ever having doubted Josh Richardson or Timmy. Give the Max. Give him part ownership. Rename the goddamn arena after him. I don't care. We need to bring Timmy back. And for all of the blasphemous things that I've tried to write in my so-called fan balance articles, screw all of that noise. I was wrong. So other than that, man, bring somebody else up. But I just wanted to apologize to all the fans because, yeah, you know, I try to be fan balanced, but screw that noise. Who wants to be fan balanced, right? Go Mavs.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been super hard on Josh Richardson. Matt can tell you know, I say stuff every now and then on the pod, and but it's those Twitter DMs with Matt and our buddy Kirk Henderson where I've said some things that people would probably be mad at me if, you know, if I revealed it. Because I was really hard on him. But you know, he had a really good game. He really had a good game one too, but the only complaint I had from Josh Richardson in this game too was when he got a huge steal, went on a fast break, and he ended up with an offensive foul because he put an elbow into, I think it was Reggie Jackson. I can't remember exactly, but you know, that was the only time in this game where I was, you know, disappointed in how he played. So overall, it's great. You know, after game one, the Mavs were already playing with house money. And now up 2-0, going back home. Like I said, it'll be the first home playoff game for the Mavs since 2016, and it's going to be at near full capacity for two straight games. So, man, it's not exactly the same as that 2011 series against the Lakers, but man, it's got some similarities, doesn't it? Are y'all with me on that, or am I completely off?
Well, I want to see what happens in game three, but it's starting to trend that way. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves here, though. I mean, Clippers are a very good team.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Could, you know, they could figure something out. I will say, if Doc Rivers was the coach of the Clippers instead of Ty Lue, I would be a lot more nervous about game three.
Right,
but it's Ty Lue, so I'm feeling okay.
Big advantage for the Mavs. Yeah, there.
I mean, the Mavs definitely have the best coach in this series. It's not even close. So, but no, I mean, look, it's a massive win. Going up 2-0 in a series and then heading back home, winning the first two games on the road. It's in the NBA it's one of the biggest advantages in sports, especially, you know, going into that American Airlines Center with that Mavs home crowd. It's going to be really difficult for the Clippers. And, you know, if stuff starts to go the Mavs way early in that game, this series could be over by halftime. So
right.
the Mavs really need to come in and put the hammer on them early and not let up and continue the intensity. They look like the more intense team. They look like the tougher team, and that's something that I never thought I would say, you know, this season. And it hasn't even been close.
The demeanor has been something that I didn't expect. You know, they've they've just been so poised, and they act like they've been here like many times before. It was really unexpected. I mean, I anticipated them giving the Clippers a fight. I did not think they would, you know, end up winning both games on the road like they did. But all right, guys, I'm going to bring a couple more people up here. We've got about four speaker requests here. I'm going to go in order. Brad, I'm going to bring you up. Brad, what's up? What's up, man?
So, I mean, my thought for this series here is, do you not know how much this team is Luka's team? Because Luka hates the Clippers. And you can just tell, like, you know, the previous guy was saying, we are just, like, on a different mental level, it seems, than last year with them. Like, there's no intimidation. There's no worry about, you know, they make their runs. Kawhi, like, honestly, Kawhi, like, obviously, just did whatever he wanted to. It didn't matter. Like, I mean, every other player is stepping up, making shots. If it wasn't, Dorian Finney-Smith tonight. But turns out, surprise, it was Maxey who just put up, like, God, like 12 points in the first quarter. I'm not sure he made another shot or maybe even had another shot attempt after that, honestly. Like, I have no clue. But, yeah. You know, like, that's just, like, the way this team is working. And it's just the confidence in each other is just astounding and a stark contrast to how the Clippers work.
Yeah, and look, I've said it all season. This Mavs team is the sum of all its parts. You know, how they play together on a night-to-night basis will determine whether they win or not. We know what Luka's going to do. He's going to go out there and give you, you know, what he gives you every single night. That's just who he is. It's always a question of, you know, who is he going to get help from? And like you said, you know, first game it was Dorian, mostly. You know, Tim Hardaway Jr., he's been consistent. Tonight it was Maxey to start. And, I mean, look, I really think we've – and I don't know how we did it, but I really think we've understated the revenge factor in this series because, Luka, you can just see it, the fire after every play he makes. He's barking at the Clippers. And
you don't think that's like a combination of Rick and Luka? Like, I mean, Rick Carlisle, he dislikes people, okay? Like, let's get real. Like, he holds grudges. He's not that friendly of a person. Like, I mean, he's just not. Like, I mean, I think that's a great pairing of people that just will say, you know what? Like, F you. Like, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
Let's get everyone else on board.
And look, it's not just the revenge factor from last year's playoff series, too. I think the fact that that Rick is going up against Rondo in this series, I think that has a little bit of something to do with it too. I think he's really wanting to put it on him.
Well, I'll tell you, in this one, I think my biggest thing so far is the fact that we have Jalen this year and we didn't have him last year. I think that's a huge difference for us. Like just having someone like me, because we had Trey Burke before, which Trey is fine. He can score the ball, but like he has not played a minute unless I just missed him.
No, he has like, not played yet.
And, you know, like Jalen is something that they're not ready for, someone that's poised, that can be in a pressure situation. Like, this is the reason why it was a surprise we got him. Like, we drafted him in that, you know, whatever, 61st pick or whatever we did. Or not 61st, whatever it was, 31st.
Yeah, 34th, I think it was.
Oh, 34th, yeah. Second round pick, though, like for this guy that just has like this championship mentality and like having that there with the team running the show, when especially when Luka's off the court, I think makes all the difference in the world. And I don't know, like we look like a completely different team than last year.
Yeah, and Brad, we appreciate it. Good stuff. But look, Brunson, he's had 3-and-1s on Paul George in these two games. You know, he has a knack for just getting under people. Like he has a low center of gravity, gets under people, drives to the basket, and he's strong enough to finish with contact. And that's something that they sorely missed last year. And look, even before the shoulder injury last year, I don't know if this was exactly, you know, the same Jalen Brunson that we're seeing now. He put in some work in the offseason. You know, he's gotten better all the way around. But, I mean, he has definitely been a huge piece for this team in this series. And it hasn't just been him. It's been a collection of people. So, I mean, it's been great to see. I'm super excited. You know, the job's not done. I'm sure they'll be happy about it tonight and then move on to the next game, because, you know, it's not over until you win four. So we'll see how it goes.
Right. And just real quick, you know, it's not just Jalen that is making a huge difference here. It's, you know, Maxey's hitting 5 of 6 when last year he wasn't hitting anything in the playoffs, in the first round last year. You know, they have, you know, I know he hasn't been perfect, but KP is in there and he's playing okay. They've got Willie, they've got Dwight, they've got, what they have is depth, and they can throw a lot of different things at the Clippers right now. And I think it's really making a difference. Last year they were broken, and especially after KP went out with the knee thing, I mean, they were just broken. And right now they're healthy, they're energized. You know, it's a completely different dynamic than last season, and it's really starting to show.
Yeah. Well, look, we're going to keep rolling here with guys that have requested to speak here. Ike, how you doing, man?
Holy shit. How you guys doing, man? Man, oh, man. You know, it's very interesting because I actually felt like the Mavs were going to win tonight. And it's just, I guess from a mental perspective, this team is different. Like, there's an edge, you know. A lot of times they kind of seem to be like even keel, you know, kind of about their business. But, you know, how everything kind of finalized towards the end of the season, as far as, you know, the Clippers going out of their way to tank just to play us. And then the Mavs actually like barking back and actually talking some shit like, okay, is this what you want? Then you're going to get it. And they're going out and they're actually showing that. So it's really amazing. I think it's something that a lot of us probably have kind of hoped for. It's for, you know, just for perspective is how they go out and play, like playing with an edge. Like I literally get chills when Luka hits one of his crazy shots and he just starts barking at some of the fans, or, you know, I just love the swag. I really do. But it's just a hilarious thing as far as like, okay, Kawhi had 30. He went nuclear in the first half. He had 30. He only finished with 41. And it sounds funny saying finishing with 41, but when you put in perspective how he was in the first half, that means that, you know, they really stepped up in the second half, or unless Kawhi got tired somehow. But another point is that all the Clipper starters were negatives. All of our starters were positives as far as plus minus. So yeah. They're definitely in their heads.
And that's pretty much how it was in game one too.
Yeah.
You know, the bench was mostly negative in the first game, other than Josh Richardson, and all of the starters were major pluses. You know, it was basically exactly the same from game one to game two. And, you know, like I said, you just kind of get the feeling now that this Mavs team has the Clippers number, at least, you know, for this season, because they played them extremely well in the regular season. I know the 51-point game, they didn't have Kawhi Leonard, but, I mean, they had everybody else. And, you know, they've really played them well throughout this season. And, you know, now they're 4-1 against them if you count the playoffs and the regular season. So you just kind of feel like they have their number. They have the personal grudge against them. You know, Maxey, he's got something to prove. He shot near 40% from three last year, but only 19% against them in the playoffs last year. He had a horrible series. So there's just a lot of stuff, you know, personal stuff that adds up from everybody that I think gives the Mavs a pretty good shot of pulling off this major upset in the first round. But Jalen, I'm going to bring you up now. What you got, man? Jalen, you there? Okay, I think we lost Jalen.
All right. No, but there's one thing I did want to say about the edge you were talking about, and I was texting Dalton, or I guess we was in Twitter DMs. I was telling him, watching Luka eviscerate Pat Beverly both physically and mentally in this series is just giving me life. Like, it is just the greatest thing I have ever seen. I love it so much.
Ty Lue should be fired on the spot for letting Patrick Beverly get switched on to Luka as many times as he did tonight after what happened, not just in game one, but what Luka did to him last year in the playoffs. He scored 10 points on him in 60 seconds. I mean,
Luka set the tone for this series at the very beginning of game one, when he got that and one on Pat Bev and he just yelled at him, "You're too fucking small." Like, that set the tone for the series. And it's been,
yeah, that was less than 4 minutes into the first quarter of game one. That's
right.
You knew from that point that it was going to be crazy. Josh, what you got for us, man?
Dude, I am so hyped. You know what? I might be going a bit crazy here, but I don't see how we lose this series at this point. I just don't. Because, like,
the odds are definitely in their favor. I'll say that.
Right. But, like, to me, it's like a 99.9%, unless something, like, terrible happens. We're right, going to win. Yeah, because, like, we have the best player on the court. None of their best defenders can stop him. If the adjustments are made, we have a top five coach in the league as our head coach, who was just as good, if not better, at making adjustments than everyone else in the league. So how do we lose from here? I don't see it, except for, like, yeah, injury to Luka.
Well, I mean, look, I don't think you're off base to feel that way. I mean, obviously when any of us say that, it's, you know, it's natural to think, well, you know, is this kind of a homer take I have? But I mean, you look at how they played the first two games and they were in complete control from start to finish. It's not like they lucked into any of these wins. They went out there and took care of business and, you know, controlled the game throughout. And, you know, I don't think the Clippers have had more than like a 4-point lead in either of these first two games, and the Mavs have been up double digits in both, you know, at least 13 points in both games. You know, I think they were up 16 or 17 at one point in game one. So, I mean, they're not just beating them. They're pretty much dominating them. And, you know, if they just hit their free throws tonight, we're not talking about a 6-point lead. You know, they win by double digits tonight, just like they did
easy
in game one. So, I'm with you there. I mean, I unless something just catastrophic happens and, you know, they put Kane Fitzgerald for game three and four and that other dude, Rodney Mott or whatever. You know, it's horrible that we know these referees' names.
Yeah.
But, you know, unless they put those two for the remaining games of the series and KP and Luka get ejected or something crazy like that, I mean, I don't see how the Mavs – lose this series up 2-0. But, you know, knock on wood, we've seen it before in the past, Mavs losing when went up 2-0, but it's looking pretty good right now. They have a lot of stuff on their side, not just history, you know, statistics, but, you know, just the way they're playing the Clippers and the chip that they have on their shoulder. I think they really, really want this one.
Well, that's it, guys. When the Mavs lose this series, it's going to be all Dalton and Josh's fault. You heard it here first.
I'll take it. But, hey, it's going to feel nice to get rid of Rondo in the playoffs. That's going to be nice.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. That will be – you know, I've been waiting for some moment like that. Because, you know, ever since he left – you know, it seems like he's performed well in the playoffs every year, and
You know, he's made some remarks about the Mavs and little side remarks and everything. You know he hates Dallas. And he tries to make it like, you know, Rick Carlisle was the villain and make out like he wasn't the one that quit on his team in the playoffs with a fake back injury. So, you know, it's borderline. What's the word? It's been long overdue that the Mavs get some type of revenge with Rondo, because it seems like things have gone pretty well for him since he left Dallas. So this would just be icing on top of the cake to not just beat Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and a Clippers team that's been a title favorite for 2 years now, but to send Rondo packing too. So, Matt, we'll probably end up doing another one of these. I see our people in the room got sliced in half, so you know what that means. Our buddy Kirk Henderson has started his group therapy session.
Or maybe it's just 1 a.m., Dalton.
No, I checked. He started his room.
Damn it, Kirk.
It's okay. Y'all go over there. Y'all have a good time. Kirk stays up later than us, and y'all have a party over there, but we'll come on here sometime between now and before game three and give a little more non-adrenaline-related reaction to all this. But, man, it sure did feel good to watch the Mavs get that win tonight. But, yeah, guys, that's going to do it for another episode of Mavs Step Back Live. Be sure to go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. We'll have this thing up as a normal podcast tonight, and then it'll be up on DallasBasketball.com tomorrow. So y'all have a great rest of the night. Y'all have a great rest of the week, and we will see y'all sometime before game three. Y'all have a good one.
Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.